Now, that's part of what consciousness, how consciousness affected the nature of a love relationship, in the sense that my relationship with my father was a love relationship. And he was karmically my father. That is, in this incarnation, he's my father. Otherwise, I don't think he and I would have much going with one another, right? Because he lives in a very different psychological space than the one I do. And it's very interesting that he has this big estate in New Hampshire, and he's a member of a club called the President's Club, which is made up of people like presidents of the United States Steel and Bell Telephone, and, you know, all that. They sit around saying, "You're a president, I'm a president." They sort of a, it's a status reward for having made it in the game. You know, it's an inner club, and they play games together. And, it's beautiful. So they come up to visit him, and he'll always say things like, "I've got this son, he's a little strange, but I'd really like you to hear him, see?" And then he'll say, "Rich," or he calls me Rum Dum, actually. "Rum Dum, would you come down and visit?" And I come down, and I sit by the fire, and I tell ghost stories. I mean, I talk about the weird and the beyond and the strange experiences in the Himalayas, the farthest reach of the Himalayas, you know, and as long as it's not threatening, everybody's having a ball, you know, fascinating, absolutely wonderful. And my father, who's listened to this story probably 100 times now, he always sits in the same armchair, and about 10 o'clock, he pushes himself up out of the chair and he says, "Well, damned interesting." Says, "Don't understand a word of it, but if he's doing it, it's okay with me. I guess I'll turn in now." And he always says the same routine, and I know that he is just not ready or interested or at all involved in hearing the conceptualization or the ability to work with this stuff. But nevertheless, the spin-off is very much part of his daily life. And I feel that this is a very subtle way in which karma works, and that we have dealt here with a matter of how consciousness changes, because my father and I are closer than we have ever been in our lives together. We genuinely and openly love one another now in this way. We have gone through, because I see the game of father and son as merely another social role relationship. We don't have any biological function at the moment, but we do have a karmic connection, and I honor him as my father. And the result is we're very close, and we're not hung up in all the melodramas we always were before. Now, you ask another question about the I Ching, and the answer about the I Ching is that I think that it's a very, very high statement of how it all is, and that it can be used very cautiously and consciously to wake you up to other perspectives of where you're at the here and now. I tend to less use it as an oracular book than as a statement of the here and now, of where you're at this moment in your consciousness when you're asking that question that you're asking of the I Ching. It's telling you where you're at that moment. And as such, it's very useful for up-leveling the melodrama you were caught in to ask the question in the first place. Yes, sir. You got a question?
Would you say a word about insanity, psychosis?
We live at a plane of reality which we share, it would seem, in which we all agree that certain things are the way they are. And when somebody disagrees with that, and disagrees with it with deep faith, under certain conditions, we characterize that as psychosis. And I would now reinterpret that and say that what has happened is that the person, and this may is not yet saying anything more, it's merely giving us a framework to see an alternative possibility, that a person through some might be a chemical change, could be a trauma of some sort, it might be ingested or in psychically induced, psychogenic in nature, but through some trauma to the system, moves from one perceptual vantage point to another one, and then gets as attached to that one as we are to the one we're in, right? And he is as attached to that, and from our point of view, he is psychotic. From his point of view, we are. That is because we don't see reality as he sees it. He's seeing another reality. Now, in the in any kind of a Hindu system, this would be called merely an astral plane. He's in another astral plane. This morning I was talking with one of the psychiatrists here on the staff, and I was telling him about my brother, who has been in a mental hospital, who has been considered psychotic, who thinks of himself as the Messiah, and who I have spent a great deal of time, since I have as much a karmic link to him as to my father, and whatever this consciousness is all about, it must have something to do with my brother, too. And my relation to him was to be as much here and now as I could be, just as I had been with my father, and realize that he is stuck in a reality just like my father is, just like I get stuck. And that any reality you're stuck in is just as bad as any other reality you're stuck in. And so one of the things I do is I go into the reality he's stuck in with him. I look around, enjoy it with him, look at the world from that place with him, and then show him that from my point of view, you have to be able to go in and out of all of them. That any one you get stuck on is the wrong one. And that one guy stuck in one, which may be a psychiatrist, who is trying to cure somebody else stuck in another, is in one sense just substituting one stuckness for another stuckness. And that the journey of consciousness is to going to the place where you see that all of them are really relative realities, and these are merely perceptual vantage points for looking at it all. Because when one looks at the universe from within the spirit, which is the another take, one sees that the entire universe all makes absolutely exquisite sense, but just it's all slightly different because you're looking at it from an entirely different perceptual vantage point. Now, there are some beings that we call psychotic who are, in India, would be called God intoxicants, and they are people who are primarily preoccupied with the fifth chakra at this moment. That is, they are beings who have experienced compassion outward, and then their entire energy turns inward to inner states that they are experiencing. And we see them as catatonic. That would be usually the category we would see them in. And because we are not getting an elicited response out of them, we project into them a certain kind of psychological state. Now, in India, they project another kind of interpretation into that, surround the person with another environment which changes the nature of his experience because of their models of what it is that's happening to him, you see. So that a God intoxicant is treated with great reverence and respect, and like Ramakrishna was often a God intoxicant, a very famous mystic in India. I would say that probably most catatonics are not God intoxicants, but there are some that we're confusing and we've got them in the same category because we don't have these differentiations at this point. My further understanding is that there is no being at any state of consciousness that one cannot make contact with if one is himself free of attachment to any specific plane of consciousness. That is, I think that all of us are available at all times. There is a place in all of us that is available at all times. And that our inability to make contact with another human being is our own inability to get out of the place we are stuck in. And that there is much to say for the flexibility of the consciousness of the behavior change agent to be able to make contact with another human being where he is without themselves getting stuck in where he's stuck. That's the work on oneself, right?